The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Hi, I'm Rob West. Christians have a calling to be generous. We're also called to be faithful stewards. So what happens when those two virtues intersect? I'll talk about generous stewardship today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, the dictionary has some highfalutin technical definitions for synergy, but you've probably heard it described more simply as when the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Mathematically, it might be expressed as 2 plus 2 equals 5. Obviously, that doesn't happen in mathematics, but it does in chemistry and physics. I think synergy also occurs when you combine generosity and stewardship. Something very special happens. Think of the women who supported Jesus' ministry. We read about them in Luke 8, 1 through 3. Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, we can only assume that it took a great deal of stewardship and generosity for these women to provide at least partial support for themselves and 13 men as they traveled around Israel. They probably had to watch every shekel. But look at what they were a part of, the earthly ministry of Jesus. Another example might be the widow's mite that we find in Mark 12, 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Of course, that passage is most often associated with sacrificial giving, but I think we can also see the stewardship that was required for the widow's generosity. She no doubt scrimped and saved, even to have those 2 small copper coins. And consider what came from her one small action. Her story has served as inspiration for millions of Christians over 2,000 years. That's greater than the sum of the parts. Now, I want to make it clear that being poor doesn't make one more spiritual, and being wealthy doesn't make one less spiritual. In Luke 18, 25, where Jesus says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God," he simply means that anyone who thinks their earthly wealth or works can get them into heaven is sadly mistaken. There have been many wealthy individuals who practiced great stewardship and generosity toward God's kingdom. R.G. Letourneau is one example. He made a fortune in the early 1900s inventing and building construction and land moving equipment. He felt that money came in faster than he could give it away. He would say, "I shovel it in, and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel." He also challenged others to be generous. He often said, "You will never know what you can accomplish until you say a great big yes to the Lord." As for stewardship, Letourneau said the real question was not how much of my money I should give to God, but how much of his money I keep for myself. And that turned out to be only 10% of what he made. He was what you might call a reverse tither. He gave 90% of his income back to God and lived on 10%. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, had a similar philosophy, now carried on by his grandson, Andrew Cathy, who runs the company. It's not clear how much of the company's profits are given away, but Chick-fil-A remains privately held because the Cathy family likes being generous. They like giving money away, and they know that shareholders likely wouldn't see things the same way. Of course, Chick-fil-A is famous not only for chicken sandwiches, but also for being closed on Sundays, which the company has always done to give employees a day to rest and worship. And while you might think that being open only 6 days a week is not good for stewardship for a fast food chain, interestingly, Chick-fil-A is more profitable per restaurant than McDonald's. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Ever read a book that you just couldn't put down? You wanted to get to the end to find out the big reveal? Perhaps you were tempted to take a peek? But that would spoil the surprise, wouldn't it? In the story of God's plan to save His people, the angels were told to wait. The Apostle Peter spoke of the mystery of the gospel, that the Son of God would suffer and rise for sinners, but the angel couldn't peek to the end of the story. 1 Peter 1:12 says that the angels long to look into these things. Have you read about Jesus' saving work recently? Don't take it for granted. What the angels long to see, we now have in our grasp. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
What do we do when people mistreat us? How do we respond? If we listen to the voices of the world around us, we will be no different than they are. God seems to have a different plan.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The Tender Warrior, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. This is your opportunity to get in on the conversation with your financial questions. Our promise to you, to help you apply biblical wisdom to the decisions and choices you're making today. You see, folks, we want to look at God's money, and that's what it is. It all belongs to Him through the lens of Scripture, a biblical worldview, and think about how we use money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Yes, very practically every day, the spending decisions we're making for ourselves and our family, but also looking at it through the eternal perspective, understanding that we have the opportunity to store treasures in heaven and really wrestle with what that looks like. So whatever you're thinking about today, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call with lines open is 800-525-7000. That's right. We're here for you, ready to take your questions, financially speaking, 800-525-7000. And whether it's your spending plan, your debt repayment, maybe it's your giving and how to give more wisely, or perhaps it's saving for the future, determining how much is enough for not only your your lifestyle, but your long-term accumulation, or maybe it's saving for an emergency fund. Whatever it might be, you can give us a call and we'd love to tackle it with you. 800-525-7000. Lines are open. All right, let's begin today in Wisconsin. Sue, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
The reason I'm calling is when I retired, I went to a financial advisor and I ended up putting my 401k in an annuity. And now I found out recently when I wanted to get the money to put down a down payment on a townhouse that I can't get my money for 10 years. And I was just wondering if you have any insight for me to talk to my financial advisor or do something to try to get my money out without paying penalties and losing it.
Yeah. When did you do that? When did you put it into the annuity?
Well, I'm 70 now. And so it was like, I went to the financial advisor when I was 66. So okay. It's been about 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you would have called me then, Sue, I would have said, let's not put that in an annuity unless you understand what you're doing. I mean, we already have the tax deferral through the 401k, so we're not picking up any tax benefits. Really, the only benefit to the annuity is if you wanted to try to transfer the risk to an insurance company to get some sort of guaranteed return or convert that into an income stream for the rest of your life without having to worry about any downside. But with that comes some disadvantages, one of those being losing access to your money. There are surrender periods that often last 6 to 8 years inside of an annuity where even, you know, inside a 401k, typically, once you reach 59 and a half, at that point, you have the opportunity to start pulling it out. It's taxable at that point, which will be the case with the annuity withdrawals, but you no longer have a 10% penalty. The challenge is when we move it into that insurance product in exchange for some of those guarantees and the commissions and fees that are being paid out to the advisor or the insurance agent, because of that, there are going to be these lockup periods where you lose access to the funds. Each one is different. You'll have to read the fine print. So I think the next step is really to talk to the advisor. I mean, you've been in there a number of years, so you should be able to start to be able to take at least a portion of this out penalty free. Tell me what it is you're trying to do. Are you needing a lump sum or are you wanting to try to create just a more systematic income stream moving forward?
No, I wanted a lump sum to put down as a down payment so I could move from where I'm living into a townhouse. And I already talked to the financial advisor and I'm going to go talk to her again in 2 days. That's why I thought maybe I could get some more, information and insight onto what to say to her the next time. Is there any way I could approach this in any way to try to get the money out?
Well, it's really just going to come down to the provisions of the annuity, and because they tend to be complicated and there's a lot of fine print there, I think that conversation just needs to look like explaining to her how much you're wanting to pull out of this for that down payment and what the provisions of the annuity, given how long the money's been in there, allows you to get out without incurring any penalties. Again, there will be tax due. That would have been the case anyway. I think the key is finding out how much is available given the time that's passed for you to pull out without any additional penalties. And so you need to have that conversation. And then moving forward, just creating a plan so you understand what the growth is and inside this, whether it's guaranteed or it's potential growth because it's inside investment accounts. And then if you need to convert this to a regular income stream down the road, you'll probably want to look at annuitizing it. You could also explore rolling it out to an IRA at some point, which would give you even more flexibility and the ability to allow perhaps another investment advisor to manage this for you where it could be invested and perhaps even do a little bit better. But I think the next step right now is to try to minimize the amount that you need, look at other income sources or asset sources for this down payment, and then talk through exactly how much you need and look at that in light of what's available penalty-free at this point from the advisor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I know she told me the last time I talked to her that if I did something, she goes, well, the most I could let you have is $1,000 a month towards a house payment, but I need the money for a down payment.
Right. Yeah, you need to let her know that it's a lump sum you're looking for. How much are you looking to take out?
Well, I was thinking about $150,000.
And what's the total balance on that?
Well, I think I've got about $500,000 altogether.
Okay. Well, given the amount of time that it's been in there, I suspect you should be able to get quite a bit out, and perhaps even as much as you're looking for. So I'd go back and tell her, listen, I'm not looking for a monthly income stream. I need to take a substantial withdrawal for this down payment. Given the amount of time that's passed, how much can I get out without incurring any penalties? And perhaps, you know, see if that allows you to accomplish that. I think that's your next step, Sue.
Okay.
Alrighty.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. And if we can help further, once you have that conversation, don't hesitate to reach out. I'd be delighted to talk further with you. God bless you, Sue. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Paula. We'd love to hear from you. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Rob. My niece, her dad just passed away, and she's only 24, and he left her about $60,000. And my question is, she has about $30,000 in student debt. She's a teacher, and she's going to get half of that forgiven. And I'm wanting her to pay that half, the other half. But she seems to think that, you know, Joe Biden will, that thing will go through with Joe Biden. So that's my question, and maybe what should she invest with it?
Yes. So she's getting, you said, about $60,000. Is that right?
Yes. And she wants to buy her a new used car, a used car. And I told her to pay cash for that also.
Okay. And what would that leave then at that point?
Well, and she has about $30,000. And so she gets $17,000 of that forgiven. So okay. I was telling her to pay the rest of the student loan off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so
there's certainly
maybe 10,000. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. There's certainly no guarantee that the Biden student loan forgiveness will get through our sharply divided Congress. You could certainly wait before paying off that student loan debt, and she could just pay on it over time and just watch and see. Separate from the wisdom of that idea, which I have a lot of thoughts on, I think at the end of the day, if it does become available, and it's certainly we don't know yet, just given what's going on in Congress and the debate over it. I think it comes down to each person's conviction, whether you'll even take that. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but I'd love to talk about the investing side of this. So you stay right there. And on the other side of this break, we'll talk about how she can put that money to work. This is Faith and Finance. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, tackling your financial questions through the wisdom of God's Word, the passages and principles we see in Scripture, and applying those to the decisions and choices you're making today. We've got some lines open at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Just before the break, we were talking to Paula. Paula's 24-year-old niece lost her father, and she's about to receive $60,000. She wants some advice on how to use it. She has some student loans that will be partially forgiven just because of her ongoing work as a teacher, but she's wondering about the balance of that, looking at the potential of the Biden student loan forgiveness, which, by the way, that's currently on hold. The Biden's Education Department was attempting to forgive up to $20,000 for each qualifying student loan borrower, but there's been a variety of lawsuits. It's been both upheld and struck down. Supreme Court is involved, and we're continuing to watch to see how this is all going to play out in the days ahead. I have a lot of thoughts on this and would not like to see this go through personally, but I think at the end of the day, if it does and it's available, it's going to be up to each person in terms of their personal conviction as to whether even to accept this. If it is available, Paula, we will know at some point down the road. So I think her option is to, if she's going to go ahead and accept this, if it becomes available, just to pay on it once the pause on student loan payments is lifted, to keep it going until we find out kind of the future of that bill coming out of the Education Department. In the terms of the next step here, I love the idea of her buying a car with cash, a used car that's going to be reliable, trying to get a good deal on that, encourage her to really do her research once she determines the make and model. Last car I bought, I traveled three states away to pick it up because I saved several thousand dollars. And if she's willing to put in the time and the legwork, she can find something that's, a good offer, especially right now while car prices are still elevated, although we're seeing some relief there. In terms of the rest of that money, whatever is available, is she wanting to put it away, perhaps like starting a Roth IRA for retirement, something really long term? Or do you believe that she wants this money more accessible in the next 5 years?
I think she wants a Roth IRA, and she also wants to start investing, like taking her money out monthly from her school.
Yeah, good. Does she have a retirement plan available at school?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And is it a 401k or is it like a teacher's retirement plan?
I think it's a teacher's retirement. I'm not really for sure, though.
Okay. Very good. Well, I love the idea if she's wanting to put it away for the long term, so long as she's got or will have enough left over as an emergency fund for unexpected expenses that will come up, after the car is purchased. That'll be important. She also needs to look in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years. Are there other things she's going to need that she needs to hang on to some money for? If not, beginning to fund that Roth IRA is a great idea. I mean, if she starts at 24, putting money away in a Roth IRA, it'll be incredible what she'd be able to put aside and have available in retirement. What I would look at doing, and again, she can put in $6,500 for this tax year. She could do that at one time, or she could begin to do that systematically over time. I'd probably open an account at perhaps Schwab, Charles Schwab, or Fidelity. She can either pick some just high-quality mutual funds, and our friends at soundmindinvesting.org can help with that. Or she could use one of the robo-advisors like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. And basically what would happen is it would build for her based on the questions that she responds to about her age and goals and objectives, a very low-cost indexed portfolio, which just means it'll use the broad market indexes for both the stock and bond market, but because of her age, largely stock market, to build a portfolio that's really highly diversified and that's very low cost. There's no transaction costs. It would probably end up being about a quarter of 1% a year for the service. But every time she makes a contribution, it would automatically be rebalanced and invested. And so it's just a great way just to invest systematically and to capture the broad moves of the market over time. And again, if she were to do that faithfully, you know, over the next 40 years, let's say, she'll have quite a bit built up. So I would look at the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or have her go to soundmindinvesting.org, and she can get some great information at either of those.
Okay. And will they automatically, can I get it to where they automatically take it out of her check?
Yeah,
and she automatically invest it?
Yeah, what would happen is she would just have to set up that automatic transfer right into that Roth IRA if that's how she wants to do it, and it would just automatically come out at whatever period she set that up, monthly, or she could tie it, you know, to when she receives her paychecks and do it that way as well.
And how much should she have in her emergency fund?
Yeah, I would say she probably needs 3 to 6 months' expenses would be a good goal there. So she could just look at what are her total expenses for the month, and then she could have somewhere between 3 and 6 months of those in her emergency fund. And then on top of that, she may want to use an online savings account at Marcus or Capital One 360 to put away for specific savings goals. So she wants to save for that next automobile. You know, she could set up one for that. If she needs to save to eventually, you know, buy a house or a condo or a townhouse, she could save for those purposes. Any of those specific savings goals would be separate, but just as a general emergency fund, 3 to 6 months expenses is probably a good goal.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Paula. Hey, God bless you. And we appreciate you being on the program today. Thanks for your call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. We're going to be taking another break here in a moment. Melissa in Tennessee, James in Alabama, Christine in Georgia will be coming your way. Plus room for your questions. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, folks, as we think about money, our relationship to money is never morally neutral. You see, when we look at Scripture, we see clearly in Matthew 6 that we can't serve two masters, for we'll either hate the one and love the other, or we'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. We see we cannot serve God and money. Well, what are the implications of that for us as we think about our relationship to money? Well, I'll talk about that around the corner as well. A lot more to come on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. If you're holding the line, stay tuned. We'll be right with you just around the corner. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
My wife, Jan, played in the marching band in high school and then in college. They all had matching uniforms, but when they played the music, nobody played exactly the same thing. As believers, unity of the faith, we're not the same. We're different. We have different parts to play, but there can be unity as we play our part in Christ Jesus.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000, but we've got some very patient callers that have been waiting, so let's dive right back in to Tennessee, and Melissa, go right ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling. My husband was out of work for just a short period of time, but we have gotten behind on bills. But I continue in faith to tithe first. Mm. So I'm steady tithing, I watch the 700 Club faithfully. And, yeah. I just see that, you've got to tithe because, you can do more with 90% than you can 10% of not, yeah. Tithing. I believe that. But I'm steady just getting behind, and I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate your giving heart there, Melissa. You clearly want to honor the Lord. And I think one of the primary purposes for what God entrusts to us is not even first for our own provision and enjoyment. It's really to be a part of God's generosity story, to connect his resources into where he is at work. The challenge with starting with our own needs and wants is that we can end up with a never-ending list that we never get beyond. And so I love the idea that you've said, I want to be faithful, I want to demonstrate my ultimate trust in the Lord, and I want to be a giver even in difficult times. Now, what that looks like is ultimately between you and the Lord. God is not an accountant, so I would say because it's all his, he's ultimately after our hearts. That's what he's always wanted, and I would pray earnestly around the leading of the Lord in this area of your giving, and we can be assured that he'll always provide what we need to do his will. Giving a tithe, if we want to follow that Old Testament principle, a tenth, it's off of our increase. So clearly, if your husband was out of work, your increase might have gone to zero if you were living off of savings, or if perhaps it was just reduced. You would want to acknowledge that in your giving of the tithe because it's only based on the increase. Now, we can give sacrificially beyond that as the Lord leads, but we only give a tithe based on what comes in. Beyond that, I think we've got to always be operating within a plan. So talk to me about where you're at right now, just in terms of your spending plan, your husband's employment, and kind of how the budget is looking at this point.
Okay, so he is back at work, and like I said, he was only off for a short time. Okay. And everything, we've depleted our savings. We've got a little bit in checking. We're living, paycheck to paycheck, but my creditors. I mean, I've always paid everything. And, you know, they're even questioning, you know, what's going on. And I told them, and, you know, they are working with me, you know, putting like a payment on the end because I've never been late or anything like that.
Sure.
But I'm just, I don't know if I'm just, I don't know. It's just, I'm scared and I know I need, I do have faith and I am in that, but, you know, I've never like been behind and all that, you know, and it's just like, yes. It just scares me.
Yes. Well, again, I think the key is to remain a systematic giver, and that's going to change over time, and you're going to go through different seasons, and you may need to cut back that giving at some point. You may want to continue to give at a certain level and just trust the Lord, and you'll find Him to be faithful. I'm confident of that. But at the same time, we don't need to be legalistic about it. And so there may be a season where you say, I need to just temporarily cut back because I want to be able to honor my obligations, and I certainly understand that. So I think the key for you right now is for you all to try to get your income restored to the best of your ability, and perhaps you have. Let's make a list of all of those obligations that you have, both the assets and the liabilities, and I suspect just based on hearing you describe your situation, you have a good handle on that. You're already engaging your creditors. That's key. We don't want to run from them. We want to run to them and create a repayment plan, especially if we're in a temporary hole where we've got to work with them to perhaps navigate, you know, a shortfall of funds. And then we've ultimately got to get on a budget that allows you to maintain all of those payments, do the giving that you want to do, and still have some margin so we can replenish an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses, keep your obligations met. And then eventually, as things get in a better, stronger standing, you know, perhaps, you know, we resume payments to a, you know, 401k or a retirement plan. So we're starting to save for the long term. But all of that has to be done in the context of a well thought out plan. And I, you know, again, the Lord knows your situation. I wouldn't be worried or disappointed if you do have to cut back on your giving. I think that's ultimately something you just need to pray through with your husband and with the Lord and do what He leads you to do. But we serve a God that's a God of order. And so I think it all has to start with a well thought out plan that allows you to meet your obligations, continue to give systematically at whatever level the Lord leads. And then over time, as God provides, hopefully we can get back into a more stable footing with that emergency fund. And I know you'll feel a lot better at that point. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Let's do this. I want to offer you a gift, Melissa. We've got a team of certified Christian financial counselors that we make available to some of our listeners. And I'd like to offer you the gift of a couple of meetings with one of those CERT CFCs who at no cost to you just could come alongside you, help look at your plan, help give some advice and counsel into how to structure things so that you can get back on a more solid footing. Would that be something you'd like?
Oh my goodness, yes. Oh, that is a blessing. Oh my gosh,
well,
thank you.
We'd be delighted to do it. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information, and I'll have one of our certified Christian financial counselors reach out to you again at no cost, just to be a resource over a couple of meetings over the phone, perhaps a video call to help you get things back on track. And I think that'll give you some more peace of mind. We appreciate you calling today. Thanks for being on the program. To Georgia we go. Hi, Christine. Go right ahead.
Rob, for your vital ministry, I really enjoy it. I have a revocable trust and assign my children my property if I were to pass.
Yes.
Also, I have a long-term policy that I've had for over 30 years if I need to have care at home or a home care facility.
Okay.
But my estate attorney told me not to have too much money in my checking account. Consequently, I didn't ask her why. If I were to become disabled, could the government take my home, my funds, and my bank account if I had to resort to a living facility outside my home? I also have Medicare and state health insurance, and I'm also employed.
Okay.
My daughter can sign on my bank account in case I am unable to do so. Thank you for your assistance if you can help me with this question.
I'd be delighted to. Tell me, how much do you have in your checking account?
A little over $9,000.
$9,000?
Over $9,000, yes.
Okay, yes, very good. And you said you have a long-term care insurance policy, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, I would certainly keep that up. I mean, that's going to be key. What they perhaps may be talking about is You know, if you were to need nursing home care and, you know, Medicaid will cover the cost of that for a period of time, but then eventually you'd need to be in a Medicaid-approved facility once you spend down those assets. But perhaps, you know, that won't even be necessary. So I think it's perfectly appropriate for you to maintain that level in your checking account. That doesn't seem to be an excessive amount to me. I love the fact that you have, Christine, this long-term care insurance policy that hopefully could offset the cost of long-term care if you need it. And if you don't, that's fine, but at least you're offsetting that risk. And if it offsets a portion of it, that's fine too. At some point though, if you did spend those assets down, you would need to move to a Medicaid-approved facility. So it sounds like you're doing all the right things. I don't think that's an inordinate amount that you have in your checking, as long as it's in an FDIC-insured account. God bless you, Christine. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
You couldn't say anything challenging Dr. Fauci or you were spreading disinformation. But I mean, you can look up Bigfoot right now. Is Facebook going to come in or is YouTube going to come in and say this is misinformation? No, they don't do that. They only do that against conservative ideology on politics or government or culture. Or if you disagree with Dr. Fauci.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Let's head back to the phones. Phil, coming your way in just a moment, but first to Alabama. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Hey. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. How can I help?
I'm kind of torn between what to do with an IRA. We have a first mortgage on our house, and it's about $107,000, and it's at a high interest rate. And the money in the IRA, obviously, is not drawing a whole lot of interest. My puzzling thought was, why not pay off the house, the high rate, and start placing all that money back in a savings.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about that. So at this point, what is your balance on the mortgage?
It's about $107,000.
Okay. And what is the interest rate on that?
It's 5%.
Okay, 5%. And how many years do you have left if you just continue on your current track?
I would say about 18.
Okay, 18 years. And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking, James?
Not at all, 73.
73, okay. So you are fully retired, or are you still working? Oh, it looks like we lost you, James. So let me give you some thoughts on this, and I appreciate that question. I apologize that we lost you there. You know, this is a great question as to whether or not to pay down that mortgage versus or pay off the mortgage versus allowing the retirement assets to continue to grow. If you're able to cover that mortgage payment, even with this higher interest rate at 5%, I'd allow the market to fully recover before I would begin pulling that out in any large amounts. If this is not a Roth IRA, and I suspect it's not, all of that money would be taxable. And if you added $107,000 to your taxable income in 1 year, you would undoubtedly push at least a portion of that up into a higher tax bracket. So if you were to do anything in terms of pulling this out, I would do it over time. But again, I would wait because you're likely down in those accounts with the market's declines. And given that, I'd love for this account to have a chance to fully recover before you considered pulling any substantial amount out to pay off the mortgage. So perhaps what you do is you look at waiting for a period of time, let's say maybe a year, before you would begin pulling that out. Let that account fully recover and then work with your CPA to determine if you are going to begin to take it out and pay it down, over what number of tax years would it make sense to pull it out so that you don't push it up into a higher tax bracket. Maybe you'd say, listen, we're going to take it out in three equal amounts over three tax years, and we know that instead of 18 years, we're going to pay this off in 3 years, that kind of thing. I think you also need to look, James, and I know we have you back with us now. That's great. You also need to look at, just what you're going to need for the rest of your life and make sure that after you pay this off, I realize that's going to take one of your biggest expenses off the table, but then let's look at that in light of your overall budget and just see, you know, whether that still meets your goals in terms of what's still then available in those retirement accounts. But I know we lost you there for a moment. Give me your thoughts on what I just shared about perhaps spreading it out and waiting to do that until this fully recovers with the market.
That sounds good. I'm debt-free in everything else. I have several rental houses that are that also are debt-free on those. And
okay.
That's my basic income.
Great. Great. So you're living off the rental income. How much do you have in this retirement account that you'd be pulling from?
It's about in one, there's about $80,000, and I have about $65,000, $70,000 in another.
Okay. All right. And so what would be your plan as you continue to age? Perhaps at some point you're not going to want to continue with the upkeep and the, you know, being a landlord with those properties. Would you look at selling those properties that are debt-free and then investing that to a more passive investment opportunity?
That wasn't my main thought. My main thought was just kind of hang on to them, and they all bring it in income, and I don't have to pay anything out on them. And I'm not, I don't necessarily have to use that income for living right now.
Yeah. Okay.
But
very good.
Tomorrow holds.
Well, I love that. So you're able to just sock that away. So, yeah, I think this is a good plan. You obviously have done well in real estate. It's something you know and love. This account, I know, has probably not been performing great. I understand that. So, again, I think what I would do is work with your CPA to determine what's the right timing once you've recovered on these accounts, if they're down with everybody else, and then over what number of tax years, maybe two or three, do you pull it out to get this last mortgage on your primary residence paid off. Now your expenses drop that much more because that's probably your largest expense you have right now. And that allows you to begin to sock more away from the rental income that, you know, you're not spending on that mortgage payment to build that savings back up. And then at some point down the road, if these rental properties are just too much for you, you could always sell them, turn that over to an advisor to begin to manage that for you. And let's say a bond account with a small allocation to stock, something like that. So I think this is a good plan. I would just work on the timing with your CPA, okay?
Okay. One other quick question. Would you now, with the income off the rental properties, would you just pay double on the mortgage and pay it down faster?
I would.
Continue to put it in a savings.
I think that makes a lot of sense because, you know, you're not, with that 5%, you know, it's not like you're at 2.75%. With you being at 5%, I think because you've got that excess cash flow, as long as your emergency fund is fully in place with at least 6 months living expenses, with you being in retirement, I'd say you just accelerating that payoff out of current cash flow makes a lot of sense until such time as it might make more sense to pull from those 401ks.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir. That sounds good.
Thank you, James. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Phil. Go ahead.
Yes. Did you say Phil?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, that's me, yes. Okay, thank you for taking my call. Should I turn the radio down or what?
That would be great. Yes, sir. And then go ahead with your question.
Is that better? All right, yes. My question is, I have never understood completely about Roth IRAs, why they're superior to others, if they're always superior for everybody in every situation. I'm now 72 years old. I've had just traditional IRAs over the years with the credit union. What is there, you know, is there an advantage always, and like even with my age group, or what?
Yeah, there's not always an advantage. It's not one of those where it's just, it always makes sense to put into the Roth. The primary difference, Phil, is with the traditional IRA, as you make that contribution, you get a tax deduction. It's excluded from your adjusted gross income for the year, and then it grows on a tax-deferred basis, and then when you pull it out in retirement, which you're already in that season of life, then you just pay tax on it as it comes out. With the Roth, you put in after-tax dollars, so you go ahead and pay the tax on it, but then it grows tax-free during those compounding years. You're in a little different situation right now, so you have to determine, number one, is it better to pay the tax now or later? Probably not, you know, much difference, other than the fact that we think that depending on what happens in the next election cycle, we're probably going to see tax rates, if they're going anywhere, they're going higher. The Trump tax cuts that are currently in place are set to expire in 2025. And so, apart from further action from, you know, the president and with Congress involved, those will go up unless they're renewed or we see something else come into play. So you putting money into a Roth would allow you to go ahead and pay the taxes now. And then the other benefit in that Roth is you don't ever have a required minimum distribution. So if you don't need the money, it can stay in the Roth and continue to grow. Whereas with the traditional IRA, at some point, you're going to have to start pulling that money out based on the schedule the IRS provides as a required minimum distribution. You do have to have earned income, though, to make a contribution to either one. And so, and that can include, you know, that has to be wages and compensation. It's not, you know, income from an account, you know, interest and dividends, things like that. So you would only be able to contribute up to the earned income that you have. But does that make sense, though, on the difference between the two?
Yeah, so if I'm still getting earned income, is it better to do the Roth then?
It could be, yeah. At that point, because you're paying the tax now, you don't have to worry about tax rates being higher down the road, and you have the ability to leave it in there and let it grow without having to think about a required minimum distribution.
Okay, and then one more last dumb question. Let's say I've got these traditional IRAs. Can you switch them over or not? Or should
you, You can do a conversion. I'm not sure I would do that, though, because that's going to add a lot of taxable income as you convert that. You have to pay the tax at the time you convert it. Okay. But I like the idea of you having these two different buckets, one the Roth, one the traditional, that you can choose which one to pull from based on your needs and what's going on from a tax standpoint.
So going forward, as long as I'm still working, should I go ahead and maybe start in Roth?
I think that makes a lot of sense. I like that idea a lot.
Great.
All right. Thanks for your call, Phil. Yes, sir. We appreciate it. Leonard in Alabama, real quick. I've just got about 45 seconds. How can I help you, sir?
Rob, I'm looking for a certified Kingdom advisor in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, yes, sir. Best way to do that, Leonard, is just to head to our website. It's faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Right at the top of the page, you'll see a button that says Find a CKA. Find a certified Kingdom advisor. You could do a city or a zip code search. I'd interview two or three before you make your decision. We even provide a helpful list of questions that you can use in the interview process as you consider the certified Kingdom advisor that's right for you. But our website's going to be your best opportunity, sir.
Very good. God bless. All right.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Luke, if you want to stay on the line, Robert will get your information, and we will see if we can get you on tomorrow. I apologize. We're out of time today. You know, folks, so thankful to have you along with us. It's such a joy to be able to serve you each day and be able to help you think about God's wisdom in light of your financial decisions and choices. I'm Rob West. On behalf of my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I want to say thank you for being along with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. May God bless you, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll be here to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.